Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Zero now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan.
So yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah. I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same,
and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein.
It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain.
Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man.
If you don't really feel this,
turn it off and toss it in the drain.
Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain.
Michael Brown, he left me with a frown,
but he should've known better, man.
When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man.
And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us,
cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers.
And you can't hold us down,
we hold the crown for majors before us.
And though you play with money, we still know that you below us.
Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up.
Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures.
If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim.
So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
Money, military,
college.
Welcome, welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, March the 2nd of 2015, and the time is 7 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable, I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brother, today, my sister, we want to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify one of the topics that I'm going to be discussing in my pay-per-view section. But I want to give the audience that are under the impression that they don't have the funds to take or to participate, give you enough information so that way, if you want to do your own study and your own research, you have the tools by which to do so. But again, what we're going to be talking about, at least what I can reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify over the airways, we're going to be discussing tonight. Tonight, we're talking about the history of this word we call God. Now, my brothers and my sisters, as you know, all of my messages are esoteric and exoteric. It means they have an outside meaning and an inside meaning. So we want to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify the origin of the English word for God. So this is the etymology. The under open understanding, the word etymology just simply means the true history or the true meaning of the word God. So when we look at the original Hebrew language in the Old Testament,
All the proper names consist of a single word or phrase that we call a sentence. So in Hebrew, Hebrew is a language that's made up completely of the components that we call consonants in English. So the vocalization of Hebrew on a phonetic scale is phonetically different than English. In other words, the exact pronunciation of ancient Hebrew syllables with consonants, since they do not contain vowels or what is called jots and tittles, is very difficult. So jots and tittles were added to bring about a phonetic or a phonetical pronunciation. No difference for the word God, or which came from the word God, G-A-W-D, God, or G-A-D. So G-A-D, Gad, God, is what we call G-O-D. Now, when we look at that phrase or that word, it encompasses a lot of things. So when we talk about this one word, God, and I've done a show on this when I was talking about the universal truth, which is spiritual telepathy. So there is a universal truth or a universal language that God uses that does not require the use of your voice box. So when God speaks to you, how does he speak? Does he speak in Hebrew, Latin, Greek, Aramaic? No. The mystery or the mystery of God is the fact that God has the ability to impart hidden wisdom or knowledge that doesn't require the use of our five senses. God is outside of time, space, mass, or matter. So when we talk about God, we are talking about an ideal. That's the problem, because there's many ideals. So many people have different ways or different ideals or different understandings of this world that we call God. One of the things, my brothers and sisters, that's very, very, very important when we talk about God is over an understanding the Gothic, the Germanic, the Anglo-Saxon, the Icelandic, the Nordic words or terms that all equate to this word that we call God. So when you look at it from a Gothic point of view, the word God is spelled G-U-T-H. Germans spell the word G-O-T-T. Dutch, G-O-D. Anglo-Saxon, G-O-D. Nordic, G-O-T-H. What's the other one? Who did I leave out? I think that pretty much covers just about everybody. You know, Aramaic, G-A-D or G-A-S. All of these are different ways, again, of saying the same word. But notice the different spellings and the different pronunciations of this word God. Now, if we were to go to dictionary.com or any good dictionary and look at the definitions of a word, again, the reason why this is so important, because words formulate your world. So the meaning of the word is the frequency that hits your DNA. What does that mean? So when you say a word, that word permeates through the air. So right now I'm speaking, my voice box or my larynx is making a sound. It's coming through my tongue or through or out of my mouth. It hits your eardrum. And your ears interpret the sound, and that sound affects your DNA. Now, we don't understand that, or we don't really see that. So when we say the English word God, it affects us differently, because in us, the English word God simply means, you know, divine goodness. Now, that's the outside meaning or the esoteric meaning. So when we look at the esoteric meaning or the outside meaning of the God, we're talking about a lot of different things. Now, in the private study, we're going to go a whole lot deeper. We're going to get into the world's definition of God. And when it says, in God we trust on our dollar bill, what is it talking about? Well, it's talking about the God of this world, which is gold, oil, and diamonds. So G, gold, O, oil, D, diamonds. It is the over an understanding that the God of this world is the gold of this world. So I have a book entitled God is Gold. So if you look at G-O-D, like the word W-O-R-D, if you add an L to W-O-R-D, you get world. If you add an L to G-O-D, you get gold. So if you go through any text, anywhere, any country, you will find one thing that has always been valued: gold. So what is it about this little shiny rock that we find in the soil that is so valuable. Well, maybe, and again, inside of the esoteric, for everybody that's a part of the program, and again, I encourage everybody if to get more information, because I've explained it so many times, I know my regular listeners are probably tired of hearing it. But again, please partner with me or email me at masterteacher33.com at gmail.com. Again, you can come in at $25, $50, or $75 to get everything that I do from now until Christmas for the year of 2015. For the year of 2015, if you would like everything mailed to your house, again, I can't email this because it's too sensitive. The information that I'm talking about right now, this is general knowledge. You can go to YouTube, you can go to Google, you can pull this up. But the information that I'm talking about in the private sessions, yeah, you got to go to the Vatican. You got to go hang out with somebody in a secret society. You got to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody to get the information that I'm going to be talking about in the private session. So in order for you to be a part of the information that I'm talking about in the private sessions, again, you have to join me preferably at the super max level, which is $400 a month, total of $4,000 for the year of 2015. Again, just email me at masterteacher33.com at gmail.com. It's a lot of money because it's a lot of information. I guarantee you at the end of this year, if you're paying $400 a month, trust me, I'm giving you $1,000 worth of information for $400. And when you get the information and you read through it, it's a total of 10 books, and it's a total of 200 one-hour audio shows. So at the end of this year, you will have 200 one-hour audio shows. You will have 10 books that when you read these books, your life will never be the same. I guarantee, I triple guarantee your life will never be the same. But the information I'm talking about tonight is just the introduction to the information that I'm going to be discussing in greater detail. And you say, well, Brother Will, that all sounds great, man. But what is it that you're going to be sharing? When we talk about God, G-O-D, we're talking about the supreme. There is a supreme reference point that everybody uses. We all like to believe that there is a source that's higher than us, that we are part of something bigger than us. There is a supreme conception. There is a supreme understanding. There is a supreme love. There is a supreme image. There is a supreme deity. There is a supreme idol. There is a supreme object. There is a supreme person, place, thing that we idolize. We all do it. We have what is called a God gene. Now, there's a book out called the God gene. Inside of your body, you are hardwired to worship something. That's why you do it. You are driven by your DNA. There's a chemical inside of your brain forces you to worship something. You have to. It's not a choice. Don't believe me? Try not to do it. Try not to worship. Now, you should be asking, well, brother, what do you mean? Because remember, the only reason that we have God, or the concept of God, is because it's hardwired into our DNA. So who put that in our DNA? Who designed you with the way that you need something to worship? Now, the word worship means homage. I like that word, homage. I like for people to pay me homage. You know, the word homage means severe respect that is paid. H-O-M-A-G-E. It means home age. Home age. A aged home. So the word homage is your home where you go to age. So worship has to do with you going to a place and you hanging out. That place is home. Worship has to do with the what you do that make you feel at home. What do? I go to the gym. Some people jog. Some people do yoga. Some people do deep breathing. Some people read. Some people eat. Some people sleep. Everybody have a different thing that they do that makes them feel at home. So this word homage, that is the foundation for the word worship. That word means homage. I use the word home. But the word really means homo. Now, Again, I touch on this a whole lot deeper in the secret or in the esoteric stuff that will be that I'll be providing for the people that partner with me at that level. Homo age. So the word homage means Homo sapien, Homo erectus, Homo Neanderthal, Homo gargantuous, Homo that's eight homos. Eight different types of mankind. Which type are you? Now, you may think you're Homo sapien, but you could be Homo erectus. You could be Homo gargantuan. You could be Homo Neanderthal. Which one are you? Well, I have that in my study about the ontology of mankind. So the word homo plus the word age, that drives us to worship. So worship is for homo, basically, and I'm not talking about homosexuals. I'm talking about mankind. You know, mankind, men are the only one, human beings are the only thing that actually, quote unquote, worship in the way that it is done on this dimension. Because the angelic beings, they worship or they do what is called homology on a totally different scale or what they call homomorphic. So homo or the homomorphification, that's what God is. Religion is homomorphic or homology or homomorphification, which has to do with homomorphosis. Now, I'm saying all of these words because, again, I'm just dropping these terms so that way for people who, again, are not able to partner with me, you can go and look these terms up for yourself. Do your own study. But, again, I've done all the work for you. I have it neatly packaged up for you, so all you got to do is come home, plop in plug in your USB, open up the book, and prepare to get your cookies blown. And so worship, my brothers and sisters, the reason that we have God is because we have a projection. We have to give tribute. We have to give our fidelity. We have to give our devotion. Ah, that's a word. So the word homage has to do with the word devotion. But the word homage, again, is the word homo, age. The word homo, again, means man. Again, age has to do with aeon, a time. So the word homo, homage, is the word homo, man, aeon, age. It is the age of the man, mankind. So this is mankind's age. The problem with that is that there is this thing that is called a homunculus. Now, I don't like talking about this in the general public because it ruffles people's feathers. If you watch a cartoon, the first time I was introduced to this, by my son, who was 12 years old at the time, and he was explaining to me about this movie called Full Metal Alchemy, or Full Metal Alchemist, which is an anime cartoon. So I spent 3 months sitting down with my 12-year-old son, who was 12, he's a senior now, and we went through, we watched the entire 3-4 month series at least 3 times. And I was introduced, now I was an alchemist. I went to school, as you guys know, in a school in Italy, private college, paid a lot of money to become an alchemist. An alchemist is basically somebody who has the ability to manipulate metal and turn it into gold. It is called the transmutation of the soul. How to transmute the soul. Now that's another study for another time. But when we talk about the esoteric history of the word of God, we're talking about a homunculus. Now, this word, homunculus, is a very dangerous word because it talks about the miniature or the human body, how a human body is formed, how the word becomes flesh and dwell among men, homunculus. Now, my brothers and my sisters, again, it is the biological forming of beings through what is called spermatocytes. Now, again, we're still talking about God, but we've got to understand why you need God. You need God because you are a homunculus. Now, for the average Joe, they don't know what that means, you know, and that's great because when you start studying this stuff, it's going to blow your cookies. But we talk about the human race or mankind, which comes from this Latin phrase, this Latin word, which means little man. Homo, again, man. And culus, or calculus, like where we get the word calculus, little. And it is this understanding that you are designed by your creator to do something that is called devotion, or to give reverence, to give homage, to give respect. And the reason that you have to worship, that you have to give honor, that you have to bow down, gives us the understanding of gold, oil, and diamonds, a.k.a. resources. So there is a war going on, or a battle going on for resources. Now, we think resources are chemical. We think resources are gold, oil, and diamonds. That's what they tell us on this dimension. On Earth, that those are resources, or are they not? You know what's interesting is the only country that has that can be totally self-sufficient. It has all of the gold, all of the oil, all of the diamonds. It has animals. It has water. It has fruits. It has vegetables. There's only one continent on the entire globe that has everything that it needs to be totally self-sufficient. Guess what continent that is? Any takers? The one that's the poorest, Africa. So Africa is the only continent on the globe that is totally self-sufficient. Yet Africa is the only continent that is totally dependent upon something else. Now, African people, again, I posted this on my website earlier today. I'm on my Facebook. And I list what race of people, and I go through a list of things that only pertain to the African American, the black man or the black woman. That's exactly the same as the continent of Africa. It's a cookie blower. We'll save that one for another time and for another study. So this word worship, my brothers and sisters, has to do with a profound desire to establish a God. So we've established why God exists. God exists because you have to have one. You have to have worship. Now, the word worship is where I get the word warship. So worship is your warship. Worship is how you wage war in the spiritual realm. The word worship means worthy. The word worship means worth-ship. Worth is the value. Ship is the vessel. It is a vessel that carries value. Let me say it again. Worship is a vessel that carries value. Let me say it again. Worship is a vessel that carries value. So whatever you worship, you give your worth to it. You give your value to it. That's why it's so dangerous. Worship is the supernatural, divine deportation of your worth to somebody else. So you are designed by God to worship, to pay homage, to render to God your worth and your value instead of keeping it for yourself. That's what worship is. Now, the word God, again, simply means a deity that is invoked. Let me make sure that you understand what I just said, because this is real dangerous. This is one of the most dangerous things you'll ever hear. The word God simply means controller. It means image. It means idol. It means representation. It means deity. We're going to break that down in just a second. So the word God, and again, this is just a 1 hour introduction on a far deeper study that, again, is about 10 hours long, that's made only available for my private group because it's too dangerous for the average Joe. So the word God, again, in the Christian community has to do, because, again, it's a dramatic term, that has to do which means that thing which is invoked. Now, you should be sitting down right about now because it comes from a Sanskrit word that means invoked. It has a root word that means to call, to invoke. So the word God has the word invoked all through it. So we might want to check out the word invoke. In, that means to walk into something. Voke, where we get the word vocabulary or the word voice. So the word invoke means to call on. It means to earnestly desire. It means to declare. It means to appeal. It means to petition. It means to call forth. It means to cause to come forth. I don't know if you understood what I just said, so I'm just going to keep moving. The word invoke means V-O-X, where we get the word voice. It means invoice. It means vocare, or invocare in the Latin, to call forth. So let me make sure, again, you understand what I'm saying. Because the word invoke, which is basically the word of God. So God is something that you call forth, brother. God is something that you call forth. So it's something that you summon. The word God means to employ a spirit or demon to conjure up. It means invoke. Now, I've read the Lesser Keys of Solomon. I've read all of the ancient texts. I've read all the Luciferian stuff. That's the exact same thing that they have in their scriptures. They use the exact vocabulary. They use their voice to call those things that are not as though they were. I think that's a scripture I heard somewhere. But we're going to save that for another study for another time. But the word God means to call forth, to summon with your voice. Gad, G-A-D. Now, we need to go a little bit further down the rabbit trail. Again, I'm just dropping a few nuggets in your lap for the people that hopefully you've already joined me so I can give you the full study of this thing called G-A-D. So G-A-D is where we get G-O-D. So the word Gad is a very, very interesting word, my brothers and sisters. And for us to understand what that means, we have to understand, again, the nature of what they call a interjection. And understand that when we talk about words, they all have an etymology to them, and we've got to trace them all the way back. So the word Gad simply means wanderer or wandering. Now, the word Gad also means God of fortune and good luck. Okay? Let me say that again. I don't know if you got that. So there's a God and then there's a Gad. Which one you got? So the God of fortune and good luck, he uses gold, oil, and diamonds. Gad. Now, my brothers and my sisters, when we look at Gad, that he's also mentioned in the Bible, one of Jacob's sons, if I remember correctly. He had a son by the name of G-A-D or Gad. And so when we talk about Gad, my brothers and sisters, again, it is a deity that was worshipped during the Babylonian time and is a Babylonian deity. And it is a Chaldean or a Ur. Where was Abraham from? Where was Abraham's father? When God called Abraham, he told Abraham to go to leave your home and go to the promised land. Abraham was from a little city, a place called Ur, U-R. Guess who they worshipped over there? Gad. So he is a deity. Gad is the name of a pan-Semitic. Now, I don't know if you guys understand what they call a Semitic Jews. That's where Cretanism or Christianity come from. It's a Semitic. So Gad is the god of fortune. Now, what's important to understand, because Gad, the god of fortune, is mentioned also when we look at the book of Isaiah 65:11. That word is translated as the God of fortune or the God of good luck, because the Hebrews worshipped that God during their Babylonian captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar, again, he was a Babylonian king, and he worshipped Mena, M-E-N-I. Mena is the root verb that is used in the word Gad, G-A-D. That has to do with meter, which is a hat that the Pope wears right now that's called a mitre, M-I-T-R-E. Now, again, we're still talking about the one word, God. So this one word, God, must where we get gold from. Because the God of good fortune, the good fortune that he gives you, if you worship him, if you worship God, he gives you gold, oil, and diamonds. So it is the worship of Gad that most believers are engaged in, but they don't understand the history of the word. So they think they're worshiping God, but they're worshiping Gad. That's why it's called the prosperity gospel that I taught and preached extensively for 10 years. I was part of the Name It and Claim It movement. You ever heard of Hank Hanegraaff? Go to Google and type in the word Hank Hanegraaff or type in the word Christianity in Crisis. You want to blow your cookies? Read that book. So where Hank Hanegraaff left off, I read that back in the 80s. I won't give away my age, but maybe it was the 90s. So when we talk about GAD, brothers and sisters, what I'm going to be discussing again in the private session is I'm going to go deep and I'm going to reveal the origin of Gad. And I'm going to basically reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify that the word G-O-D-D-E-D, begotten is a modern term for the word Godhead. It was introduced in 1611 by who? Constantine and Vespasian with his son Titus. So they took G-O-D-D-E-D, which is an Aramaic, come from an Aramaic word G-E-D-A-D, which means to cut down, to cut to the root. It means to create a gash. So this Aramaic, now remember Yahushua was that, he was Aramaic. He was he came from that particular Aramaic environment. Most people don't understand that, but that's another study for another time. Most people think he was Hebrew or Jewish. But we're going to break that down, because who are the parents of Yahushua? Now, that's another esoteric study that I'm going to break down that's going to blow your cookies. But again, I can't discuss that over the air. See, the Aramaic word G-E-D-A-D, Jedid, is phonetically identical to the words. Now, see, this is a, you are in a phonetical war because you are battling a phonic or a phonetic god. He's a god of frequency, waves, and vibrations, which we call words. So if you don't understand, my brothers and sisters, what is called the gradual conversion of the Aramaic Celt or cult, which is called, is it spelled C-E-L-T, Celtic. So let me make sure that we are all on the same page. There is some people called the Welsh, there was called Welsh Celts. Then there were some Britons, B-R-E-T-O-N, not Britain, Britons. So the Britons, they were native of what is called Brittany in northwest France. They spoke a dialect of a Celtic language. So the Britons, not the British, the Britons. Again, this is basic history. You go to Google and type it in. The Britons, they gradually converted to an Aramaic language, which again was found in most of the Babylonian countries. And remember, the Babylonians, they sacked Jerusalem, or they took over, or they invaded, and they held them captive. That's why Christianity has a Babylonian base. It's paganism. So the pagans took over Judaism, if you want to use that term. Now, I'm going to talk about that later on in some more shows. So this Aramaic combination with the Britons, they worship a deity by the name of Saturnalia, Satan, and another deity by the name of Jupiter, Thor, who was also called Gad, or pronounced God, G-A-W-D. So G-A-W-D, God, became G-A-D, Gad, who became G-O-D, God, when Constantine converted to Christianity. And so he used the same title for the supreme God of those three, the God Jupiter, Thor, the God Saturn, Cronus, Satan, and the God of Fortune, Gad. All three of them knuckleheads became one. That is called a Godhead, G-O-D-E-D, where we get the Godhead. And Constantine introduced this into Christianity before 1611. That's why I tell everybody, my belief system is before 1611. Your belief system is after 1611. I don't do no 1611 or after readings. Everything after 1611 is manipulated. Your Helios Biblios that you have is 1611, Constantine version of it. Constantine wrote the New Testament. Don't believe me? There's a big book called Constantine's Messiah. That's a video. It's on YouTube. I think it's still out there for free. You watch that video, you probably won't sleep tonight. So if you got to go to work in the morning, I don't want you to, don't watch that video. If you're the average Joe, now again, everything I'm talking about today, this is just elementary school stuff. The stuff that's in my private program that's costing $400 to get access to, or $75, $50, and $25, and people tell me that stuff. People ask me a lot. Because, see, for 20-plus years, I never charged a dime for anything that I discussed. And so it's hard because people are used to me just feeding them for free. And then I had a, thankfully, I got hit in the head by a spiritual 2x4 because I was working 3 jobs and doing all of this stuff. And, you know, I want to save the world. I love everybody. And I noticed everybody else was doing great, and me and my house, we were struggling. And God told me that your gift will make room for you and take you before kings. Then he said that a workman is worthy of his wages. And then he dropped something, and he says that do not cast your pearls among swine. Because the people were getting angry, and people are still getting angry because they want to, Brother Will, well, why are you starting to charge? I don't charge for the gospel. A good friend of mine told me, hey, brother, you ain't charging for the gospel. You're charging for your time. Do you know how much time I've spent on researching this, what I'm sharing today? I don't know. So the gospel is free. I gave you all the terms that you need to research this for yourself. But if you want my notes, if you want my time, if you want my energy that I've invested, it's going to cost you $400 a month. If you want to do it for yourself, knock yourself out. God bless you. Happy hunting. So the G-O-D-D-E-D is the modern translation of the word Godhead, introduced by Vespasian and his son Titus, the Roman emperor, in the King James Authorized Version. Now, all of this is found in Acts 17:29, Romans 1:20, Colossians 2:9. It was during this same time period when throughout Europe, especially in Britain, because the Britons became the Britons. That's why you will find most of this polytheistic Gothic triad or triunity of Jupiter, the Sun, and Saturn or Saturnalia. The Trinity. Now, if you're a good Cretan, like you should be, you would say, well, brother, come on, man. That doesn't mean anything. You're absolutely correct. It doesn't mean anything. The only problem that I have is that your leaders, they are in it to win it. What does that mean? Take away their gold, take away their oil, and take away their diamonds. Now, ask any reverend, any doctor, any bishop, any clergy, anyone who represents the Almighty. Gad was thrown in between the words connected with the construction of faith and the Almighty. Again, thus Gad went from a word that was spoken to a truth that was believed. Gad is paganism. But paganism has infiltrated Christianity, thanks to Constantine. What blows me away is that nobody has researched Constantine. So you got a Roman emperor. He converted to Christianity. Did you ever ask yourself why Constantine became a Christian? Now think about it. Constantine, you know, he was born at night, but he wasn't born last night. Constantine realized that there was more peasants than there was priests. And so Constantine realized that the peasants' religion was Christianity, and it was becoming organized, and it was becoming overwhelmingly powerful. So he had to bring about what is called the Reformation Age. So the pre-Reformation Age was when the Roman Catholic Church began to oppress and usurp. This is called the Dark Ages, because they had to basically replace the true Godhead with the Godden. They had to, again, replace G-O-D with G-A-D. And so it is this under open understanding of the basic foundation. Now, I can go through all through the Helios Biblia, and I can reveal, explain, and illuminate some stuff that will blow your cookies. You say, well, what do you mean, brother? Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 14, verse 11. So Acts 14, verse 11 says, and the crowds, when they saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices and shouted in the Lycan. You've heard of a lichen? There's a movie out where they have lichens, which is a combination of a vampire and a werewolf. But that's another study for another time. Vampirism. So within the lichen language, then it says, the gods have come down to us in human form. They called Barnabas Zeus. And then they called Paul. Okay, let me read that again. Acts 14, verse 11. The gods have come down to us in human form. What gods? I don't know if y'all really want to overstand. So again, I'm going to save the true breakdown of that for my private session. But some deities came down. And so when they came down, they called Barnabas Zeus. Now, you know, Constantine worshiped Zeus, Greek mythology. Then they called Paul. It says because he led in them into discourse. Hermes, god of speech, and then it says, and the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the town, brought bulls and garlands to the city's gates, and they wanted to join the people in offering sacrifice. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothing, they dashed out among the crowd, and they shouted, "Men, why are you doing this? We also are only human beings of nature like your own. So are you telling me there's other human beings that have different nature than yours? That's what your Bible says." Now, again, brothers and sisters, I talked about one of the things I'm going to be discussing, which is the second species. Now, that information is too dangerous to be spoken up over the airways. When, again, people who talk about this stuff, everybody that I know who talk about this stuff that I know, they all dead. Or they are missing. They have a lot of accidents. They fall off trains. They get hit by cars. They food get poisoned. They end up, strange accidents happen to people who talk about the second species. Now, this is in your Bible. But no Reverend Dr. Bishop will tell you that it's in there. Number one, they probably don't know it's in there. Because when I was a Reverend Dr. Bishop, I didn't know it was in there either. The Luciferians told me that it was in there. And they told me that they wrote my Bible. And I told them that you was dumb as a box of rocks. And they said, "You might want to do some basic history, homie." So I did. And what I found was very shocking. And so there are human beings of a different nature than your own. But that's another study for another time. They are called the homunculus. And then it says, and we will bring the good news that you should turn away from these foolish and vain things and turn to the living God who, okay, if there's a living God, that means there must be a dead one. That's another study for another time. Who's the living God? Now, most people, they serve the, they, it says in the Essene Gospel of Peace that Yahushua was an Essene. Why do you read dead books written by dead men about their dead God? That's what it says. But again, I digress. That's another study for another time. It says, but why are you engaged in these foolish things instead of the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is contained within it? So Zeus was considered the sky god. He was the controller of the weather. He was the ruler of all of the gods. Zeus, Constantine, was a Zeus worshiper. In Acts 14:11, Paul and Barnabas got to the city and they saw an altar dedicated to the unknown god, Zeus. Now, I saw a picture of Yahushua. It's identical to the old picture of Zeus. Most pictures of Jesus Christ that are on your walls with the long hair, very, very, you know, Caucasian, Anglo-Saxon skin, blue eyes, go to your history books and look up a picture of Zeus and then compare it to the picture that you got of Jesus on your wall. They look really close. So Zeus, again, Constantine was a Zeus worshiper. So he combined that. Now, this is just basic knowledge. This is nothing new. Most people already understand this. And so we have to, brothers and sisters, stop. We've got to look at the truth. G-A-D, again, in the Old Testament, Gad was the son of Jacob. That was a gentleman by the name of Gad, G-A-D. But then inside of the Helios Biblios, there's many, many, many definitions of this one word, G-A-D. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 11 says, but you who forsook the Lord, who forgot and ignored my holy, who forgot and ignored my holy Mount Zion, who prepared a table for Gad, the Babylonian god of fortune, and who furnished mixed drinks to Mena, the god of men's destiny. I will destine you, says the Lord, for the sword. Basically, I'm going to prepare you for the sword. And I'm reading from the Amplified version, which, again, is a little different from the King James. But it has more English words, so that way, again, it helps you to understand it, the Amplified version. And it says, again, let me read it again, Isaiah 65:11. They talk about somebody who prepared the table for Gad, G-A-D, whom we call God, the Babylonian god of fortune, and who furnished mixed drinks to Mena, M-E-N-I-E. Now, remember Mena? I mentioned him earlier. He's the god of destiny. He says, I destine you, says the Lord. So the Lord is saying, hey, Mena don't create destinies. I do. So when I do Dirk and the reports, I don't do Dirk and the reports based upon Mena. That's Babylonian astrology. I do my Dirk and the reports based upon theomathematics. That's biblical alphanumerics. That's a totally different cookie. And then it says, because I called you. So God said, hey, I call you, so I give you your destiny. So you can get a destiny, so you go see a fortune teller. You go see a palm reader. Guess who they get their power from? Guess who's their God? Guess who their God? So I talk to people all the time who engage in fortune telling, who engage, they say, Brother Will, you do the same thing, man. You got astrology inside of your Dear Canary report. Sorry, homeboy. My stuff is not based upon Babylonian astrology. It's based upon biblical alphanumerics and theomathematics. It is the under, over, and understanding of the difference between Mena and the Father of Lights. Two different deities. Both are trying to create or control the destinies of men. And then the book of Isaiah goes on and it says, but it says, first of all, God says, I called you. And then he says, but you did what was evil in my eyes, and you chose that in which I did not delight. So everybody listening to the show, you got a choice to make. You can continue to worship Jupiter and Satan, or Saturn and Saturnalia and Kronos, or the god of time. Or you could overstand that the word Gad means fortune. It means the god of fortune. It's a god or a god that they worship in Babylon, in Babylonian. And that word G-A-D basically translated into our Bibles as G-O-D. So it's important that you understood that the Septuagint uses the language of the Chaldeans. If you got a Strong's Concordance or a lexicon, look it up. You will see that it says Chaldean, C-H-L-D-E-E. Yeah, they were pagans. But I didn't tell you that. So we found ourselves worshiping the same deity by default as the Samaritans and the Philistines. The name of the deity is called Astar, a.k.a. Astaruth. Triple dare you to go to the Bible and look it up for yourself. Astaruth, the queen of heaven. The Gad, the god, and the name Mena. So the goddess Astaruth or Astar or Easter. So every Easter, who you think you are worshiping? When you go and you send your little crumb snatchers to go and go Easter egg hunting on Easter, Astar, Astaruth, this is all paganism. 90% of what you call Christianity is paganism. I can prove it with basic history. I don't need no science or no biology. If you want science and biology, I got a little bit of that too. Because see, the people I debate, they got PhDs. They've been to seminary, which means cemetery. I went to cemetery too. So I know what they taught in seminary. But see, after I left the seminary, guess where I went? I went and hung out with Luciferians. I went and hung out with some Freemasons. I went and hung out with some people from the cult of 33 or the council of 300. Guess what they worship? Gold, oil, and diamonds. And they told me, Brother Will, African Americans cannot be members of our club. And I said, why? We serve by El Gaut, Old Testament, Strong Concordance 1171, Lord of Fortune, city noted for Baal worship, located in the most northern or northwest point of Joshua's victories. Baal Gaut. And I was like, well, I want to be a member of the club too. Sorry. You cannot be a Rosicrucian, or you cannot be a Scottish Rite, but you can be a Prince Hall. Now, if you don't know what that means, again, I digress. You won't find no African Americans inside of the Scottish Rite Temple. None. I was a photographer. I was paid a lot of money to do a wedding. I don't know why they hired me. I get to the temple. They were Mormons. They said, sorry, you cannot come in. Oh, well, I'm hired. They paid me $1,600 to do their wedding. I felt sorry for the young couple. They was in tears because there was no photographs, because black men cannot go into a Mormon tabernacle behind the veil. I don't know if you guys know anything about Mormonism. Might want to check it out. The English word God has become a source of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. You notice that everything in the Bible causes confusion? The word God comes from the Germanic word, or the German word Gad, or Gaut, the Babylonian god, and his queen, Ashtar, a.k.a. Easter. So the English word God is identical to the Anglo-Saxon word good. The god of good fortune, it is the divine goddess and his heavenly queen. That's where the word God comes from. So when you say, oh, God, I love you and I worship you, who are you talking to? Now, God, thankfully, and let me say this, God looks on the heart. I don't give a rip how much confusion there is. You got a good heart, you good. You can use the wrong name. You can do this, that, and the other. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. So everything that I said for the first 50 minutes of this show can be totally disregarded if you have a good heart, because you are invoking a good God, not the God of fortune, but the Father of light. So again, everything comes down to your dilemma. That is why that is the number one goal of the Luciferian, to corrupt your intention. That's why, brothers and sisters, if you don't have a pure heart these last days, the love of the truth is the only thing that matters. People ask me all the time, Brother Will, what is the truth? That's irrelevant. You know the truth doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the love of the truth. Let me say that again in closing. 2 Thessalonians, and I'll say this as often as I can, because in my counseling I was counseling a young guy who's beating himself up today on the verge of tears as he was telling me with his heart broken because he was committing sins. And he was telling me what he was doing, and I'm listening because he's condemning himself. There's no demon. There's no devil. He's destroying his own self, but he has a heart of gold. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on your heart. You know what I told him? Same thing that God told, Yahushua told the woman who was caught in adultery. He bent down, wrote something on the ground. And he says, you that without sin cast the first stone. Then he told the woman, where are your accusers? Let me ask you a question, brother. Let me ask you a question, sister. Where are your accusers? They all are in your head. Get rid of the wild, evil beast in your head that is accusing you of being a bad man, woman. And you may be a bad man or woman, but what is your intentions? What are your intentions, brothers? What are your intentions, sisters? There is so much stuff I can honestly say, after 40-plus years of research, exactly what Solomon says. King Solomon, to me, even though he fell off the wagon at the end of his life, you know that all ancient religions are built on King Solomon. All cults are built upon Solomon. Because the word Solomon means soul of man, soul of a man. That's another study that I'm going to break down. The soul of a man is the solo man. So King Solomon says, where there is an increase of knowledge, there is an increase of sorrow. Why does knowledge bring sorrow? You know, it's really, really dangerous to know a lot of stuff and can't do nothing about it. So I know chemtrails is in the air. What can I do about it? So there's metal shavings that sprayed in the air. Those tiny, tiny, tiny metal. Now, you know that the body, the only thing that the body can't process out is aluminum. What do you think is in chemtrails? Why do you think this stuff, and now there's other stuff that's in plastic called BPT? So the powers that be know this. So you go out and you get a bunch of knowledge like I did, right? You study in and you research in knowledge. You know that you're going to end up with a vexation of spirit. It's called a vexed spirit. Now, that almost got me. So the enemy, he was cool. He didn't mind me getting all this knowledge because information creates deformation. So you become a deformed. Now, you know the definition of what Christian means, deformed idiot. You do know that, right? You know the word Christian comes from the word cretin, found in Titus chapter 3, verse 10. So if you're walking around calling yourself a Christian, you know you are saying you are a deformed idiot. I'm not saying it. You might want to look at the definition of the words yourself. The devil hides in words, by the way, just in case. What have we been talking about today? We've been talking about two words that have been manipulated. That's all we've been talking about today. I didn't even get into the gold, G-O-L-D. The L in the gold stands for the Lord. The Lord is the little L. He's the Kyrios that's found in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I have a 400-page book that explains the little L. He's called the Cosmogrator. It means little L, Lord. So anytime you add an L in a word, you are adding in the Cosmogrator. So he took the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. So when you insert a L inside of the word, the W-O-R-D becomes W-O-R-L-D. That's what we have now. So the Cosmogrator manipulated the light to create the world. So the Cosmogrator manipulate God to create gold. So G-O-D now is G-O-L-D. So you got gold, right? Do you even know what gold is? Why is it so precious? You know that gold only comes when a supernova explodes. When stars explode, the stuff that comes out of them is what we call gold. ORUMS. Now, I break this down again in one of my esoteric studying. I just drop in a few words for the people who think they don't have the money to join us. ARUMS. If you don't know what that is, white powder gold, a.k.a. manna. It's the stuff that basically in that movie Limitless, where old boy takes this pill and now, like in the movie Lucy, he becomes all-knowing. What is that? ARUMS. I think I'm spelling it correctly. That is a very dangerous substance. Why? It breaks down the DNA. So, my brothers and sisters, again, I didn't get too deep into the lecture tonight because, again, I didn't want to get too deep into the lecture. I just dropped a bunch of words so that way for the people who are not a part of the $25, $50, $75, or the $400 level can go out and do a little bit more research on their own about MENA, M-E-N-I, excuse me, and GAD. And don't forget the Queen of Heaven, Astaroth, Astar, or Estar. You might want to do a little research because what you will find, brothers and sisters, is you will find G-A-D-D-I. And that G-A-D-D-I is the independent deity. And most of the planets that we see, we think they're planets. So when you see Jupiter, Mars, and you see these other planets floating out there in space, what are they? Are they just a rock? That's what I was taught. So what is the periodic table? So I said the periodic table is just elements, right? That's what I was taught. Yeah, you might want to do a little bit more research. What about a gargoyle? You remember a gargoyle? So you go to some of those ancient buildings, you look up there, and you see a stone statue of this hideous thing, gargoyle. You ever looked up the definition of the word gargoyle? Have you heard of the Gregory? The enemy hides in plain sight. See, the stuff that I know, people get to my level, they do two things. They go crazy or they commit suicide. Now, I did a show on there was 10 scientists that all killed themselves. One scientist, this is what he did. He got to the same, he understood what I understand. He took, now this is a true story, 30 apples. He poisoned one apple. This knucklehead ate one apple a day. That's how he killed himself. Until he ate the poison one. So he said he's going to need to starve to death in 30 days because, you know, only one apple a day. He was just, you know, kind of Russian. He played Russian roulette with apples. That's what I mean by vexation of spirit. That's what Solomon was saying. Solomon was saying this is dangerous stuff. That is why I'm charging $400 for people to get access to this information. Because if you ain't in your right mind, you'll be walking around foaming at the mouth. And somebody be putting you in a straitjacket. It takes a strong constitution to observe the truth. That's what it says in the Gospel of Thomas. That should be inside of the Bible, but it's not. Because remember, he says, when you find the truth, you will be greatly, greatly perplexed. And then he says after that, you will marvel. So what is it about the Gospel of Thomas, or really the truth, that causes perplexity? What is it that's in the truth? Now, I already know the answer to the question, but, you know, I want you to mull it over. In fact, let me read that really quickly. Verse 2 of the Gospel of Thomas, in chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "And Jesus said unto them," verse 1 said, "and he said, who or whosoever finds the interpretations of these sayings will not experience death. That is why I do what I do." See, brothers and sisters, I'm going to translate from one dimension to the other. So I don't want nobody at my funeral crying. When they put my black behind in a pine box, I want you guys partying. Because I'm just transferring from one reality to another. Because why? I found the interpretations of these things. So I got Yahushua's guarantee. Yahushua says, anyone, whoever finds the interpretations of these sayings will not experience death. Thank you, Father. Verse 2 says, "And then Jesus said unto them, let him who seeks continue asking until he finds." See, most of what I know, they ask, they seek, and they knock. A-S-K. The Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you." But most people I know, they're not asking, they're not seeking, they're not knocking. Why? They already got God. Don't believe me? Ask any Cretan. They will tell you they know who God is. Wow. I've been studying for 40 years, and I found out that God don't exist on the planet. I'm not saying he doesn't exist. I'm just saying what the old and what everything that everybody else has said. Ask Solomon. What did Solomon say? You ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? You want to blow your cookies, read the book of Ecclesiastes, just the first four chapters, and count the number of times that it says vexation of spirits in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, I have a whole book that explains it and breaks it down. Why did Solomon say that? Because of what it says in the Gospel of Thomas. The Gospel of Thomas, Jesus says, let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds. When he finds, he will be troubled. When he becomes troubled, he will be astonished. After he's astonished, he will rule over all. And Jesus said, if those who lead you say to you, see, the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will precede you. So if you believe that the kingdom of God is anywhere except inside of you, whatever you believe will precede you. Now, I break that down in my private studies. That's a cookie blower. I wanted you to focus on verse 2 in closing. It says, when you find the truth, you will be troubled. What is it that you find that causes this trouble? That is what I break down, and that's what I'm going to spend an entire year. The rest of this year, I am doing 1 hour, really more than that. I say 1 hour, but like today's supposed to be 1 hour, and I'm still talking. So everybody has an opportunity to get these 10 books that you cannot find on Amazon. I don't, these books I privately publish because these books, again, read, go to Google and type in William Cooper. Why? Because William Cooper was, I can't say he was a personal friend, a good friend, but he was a good friend. What happened to William Cooper? He wrote a book called The Pale Horse. Now, Bill Cooper was the head of the Naval Intelligence Agency. He was in the military, just like me. What he saw and experienced in the military changed his life, just like me. He wrote a book called Behold the Pale Horse. William Cooper was shot in the back in his own front yard with his hands up. So what happened in Ferguson happened to a white guy in Arizona, buku years ago. I think he died, I think it was in 1990 or 91. Why did they kill William Cooper after he wrote that book? What's in that book is what I talk about in my private shows that I don't give to nobody unless they paid a lot of money. Because I'm not going to get shot in the back like William Cooper in front of my front yard, which my wife and kids watching. Brothers and sisters, this is very, very dangerous information. People are going to tell you that the stuff that I talk about, and people talk about me all the time, I'm used to it. Because you got to ask yourself one question. One question. This is the only question you got to ask. Why would a bad guy give you the keys or the information by which to convict him? If I am the God of this world and I want to keep you trapped on this world, do you honestly think I'm going to give you a book that explains to you how to get off the planet? Do you really think? Now go to Google and type in what is the number one best-selling Bible, the number one best-selling book on the planet. If you really honestly think that if I'm a bad guy, I'm just going to put it in plain sight so that way you can destroy me. I'm going to give you all the tools. I'm going to give you a gun. I'm going to load it, and I'm going to give it to you. Do you think that the devil's going to do that? You think he's that stupid? No, brothers and sisters, he's not going to do that. So it's going to take exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says that you have to search for it as gold. You have to search for it like it's a hidden treasure. That's what it says in the book of Proverbs. You have to search for truth. It just don't pop up. Otherwise, I would have found it a long time ago. Why did it take me 40 years to find it? Because it's hidden. Thankfully, it's hidden in plain sight, but it's still hidden. It requires the Holy Spirit give you the interpretation. So when you read it, if you are seeking it for personal gain, the interpretation lies hidden. So the definitions that we're talking about, as I go deeper in my private lessons, we reveal, expand again inside of this book, the true meaning of the word God. Brothers and sisters, I break down some stuff in there that's really, really shocking. In there, I break down what is called the Bilderberg Group. Now, a lot of people have heard of the Bilderberg. They've heard of the Council of 300. And so this isn't anything new, but I break down the history of the Almighty God, gold, oil, and diamonds. This is what is called the shadow government, the elite. It is the Committee of 300. Again, it controls the Trilateral Commission. They control all of the ancient society. They control Harvard. They control Stanford. They control the Club of Rome. They control the CIA. They control the British Secret Service. They control Princeton. They control the Canadian Institute of Internal Affairs. They control most of the entertainment, the insurance, banking, real estate, technology, the Committee of 300. This is a prominent group of people that compose what is called the one percenters. These are the L's, or the elders. Now, the L's come from a group or race of people called ELS, the L's. I break that down inside of my book and my private study, The Ontological History of Mankind. My brothers and sisters, this is going to be a dangerous year. It's going to be a fantastic year because this is the year, 2015, of removing the shadow. This is the year that we move from being in a shadow into the light. And I'm asking you to join me on this fantastic journey. Again, you can partner with me $25 a month, $50 a month, $75 a month. For the people who are in a position to be able to join me at $400 a month, you get the 10 books and 200 audios. For everyone else, you will get specific information. I will give you the option. If there's a particular teaching and a particular ebook, then I'll give you that information. Again, all of that information I have available inside of my website, and my or you can email me. I haven't posted to the website yet. I'll probably get that up hopefully this afternoon. And it breaks down the details of exactly what you will be receiving at each level of partnership. So again, there are four different ways by which you can partner with me for 2015. The maximum level is $400 a month for 10 months. Again, the next level, $75 a month for 10 months. The next level, $50 a month for 10 months. And the last level, $25 a month for 10 months. So that way we can reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify the lying pen of the scribes. Lying by omission, that it talks about in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8. My brothers and my sisters, I am way out of time. I want to thank everybody again. I will continue to do these one-hour free shows just to let you know that what I'm talking about in my private shows, so that way I can keep you up to speed of what's going on for 2015. My brothers and my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. May the mercy and the grace of God continue to shine down upon us, because without the Holy Spirit revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying this information, brothers and sisters, we are all like sheep that have been led astray. It is only by the grace and mercy of God that I am here in my right mind with sound body to share with you the Word of God. Please join me and assist me to continue to do this. Without you investing in me, I got to go get a regular 9-to-5, and I don't have time or energy to do this. So I won't be sharing this information with you. Continue to support me as I continue to support you. My brothers and my sisters, again, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May His Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because He will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a heat. Whatever doesn't kill me just
crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.
And when you go hard for the truth, you better watch your back for haters, cause they'll sneak right behind you and look like an actual neighbor. When you got your mind on right, it seems like every day's a doomsday. Last week I found out my enemies, my roommate, don't care about what you say. Was I born on last Tuesday? Riding all through the night like I never seen a new day. If you do it better,
when
do it right.
That
don't be worried about what some fools say.
Production.
Don't be worried about what some fools say.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a knee. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes
so
me go hard.
Production.
Tell them to keep attacking me. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes me go hard. There ain't no need to pack a knee. Whatever doesn't kill me just makes
so
me
bad,
go
hard.
I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth. I'm all off in this booth. I go hard for the crew. The only reason I'm living is to go hard for the truth.